Welcome and thank you for visiting us for today's message by Dr. R.L. Davis. For more information regarding our ministry, please stay tuned until after the following message.
We should have a body like His glorious body. But let's get first things first. The foundation of Christ, Him crucified, must be number one. Then we build upon that and develop our faith to operate in the kingdom of God on this earth. But it cannot be done if you do not have the proper foundation. That's what I'm saying. And that's what's wrong with most people that say they're Christians, is that they don't understand really what Jesus did, and number two, what happened to them when they received Jesus as Savior and Lord. What happened is that we became a new creation. That's what happened. In a moment of time, we were resurrected right then to walk in newness of life. Amen. Understanding that principle takes years to figure it out, and then we'll never figure it all out. Just accept it that we're sons of God. God's got us under His love. Praise God. So this verse then, Romans 6 and verse 5, is the source of all blessings. We've been buried with Him, and we've been resurrected with Him. That's a Christian. After all, they were called Christians first in Antioch, and you know, Christ in you. I was witnessing to a guy the other day here at the church. And I asked him, I said, "Do you go to church?" He says, "No, I don't go anywhere, I stay home." Well, at least tell the truth. So I said, "Well, that's your choice." And then I said, "Lord, what am I going to say to this guy now?" So I say this. It isn't about you going to church so much as it's about your faith in Christ. He goes, "Yeah, that's right." See, that's the problem with this country. They will give a mental assent to truth, but they will not convert. That's the problem. So unless a man converts and become born of the Spirit of God, they cannot enter the kingdom of God. But God's not through with him yet. A little nugget like that will get in. He won't get away from it. Okay? And God will give him a chance to be saved. So you never know what God's doing with people. The main thing is we need to testify. Now, if a person is in faith, hello, they will be in church. After all, Jesus went to church. God in the flesh. So if he needed to go, I think maybe we need to go. You understand that, right? So it really isn't an option. There are no excuses for not going. None, zilch, unless you're in the hospital or dead. That's it. Amen. Now, so if we get our foundation correctly, we can, by faith, operate and live in the victory. Amen. Any victory in here today at all? Yes. Satan stands to oppose you. But it's not so much you and me he opposes, it's the faith that God put in us that he opposes. Because he knows if we have faith in God, nothing is impossible. But there again, we must be anchored in the gospel. The Baptists were very good about this. For conversion. They left off the Holy Ghost. So, in Romans 8, 2, we find the answer to a lot of our problems. What we need is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's the first law. Has made me free from the second law, which is the law of sin and death. So there are two laws in effect right now in the time period that we live in. Those two, law of sin and death, law of spirit and life, in Christ Jesus. Notice it says, in Christ Jesus. the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, are you getting this? If you're not in Christ, then the law of sin and death, you're in that. The end result is not good. So it's very important we understand the Spirit of life in Christ makes us free, say free, from the law of sin and death. Not subject to it, as long as we stay in Christ. So just because a person is baptized into Christ, the new birth, doesn't mean they can't leave Christ. So it is not once saved, always saved. Never has been, never will be. It should be, and it can be, but there are a couple of little conditions. Amen. And it's up to you, child of God, to make sure you meet those conditions. Amen. There's only two. Keep the faith and stay in grace. You can't blame anybody else if you don't. Can't blame the preacher, blame the church, blame the environment, blame family. Can't blame nobody but yourself. Can't even blame the devil. Because if you're a child of God, you don't have to do what the devil says. That is, if you have the proper foundation. But if you don't, that devil's going to whip you every day. Not one thing you can do about it. Because he knows you don't have any authority. Now, if our faith is in Christ alone, meaning we must have our faith placed in what he did on the cross. What are you believing in? What are you trusting? Who? See? So you're saying there's nothing we can do. Now you're getting the picture. I think about these guys that want to be a pastor. They're just chopping at the bit, just, oh, nope, you're not it. Then you got the other few that say, no, I can't do it. Now you're the one God will pick because you can't do it. Therefore, you'll have to depend upon the Holy Spirit. That would be the one I would pick if I was God and going to pick a pastor. Amen. Somebody admits, I don't have what it takes. That's right. Anyway, we need our faith placed in Christ and the new covenant. When we say the cross, as some are teaching today, and thank God for them, when we say our faith must be in the cross, it doesn't necessarily mean a wooden beam. That's what we think about, the old rugged cross. But actually, what was done there is what we're talking about. God works through legalities. There had to be a sacrifice, see, for us, which Jesus stepped up and paid. He endured the cross all the way, gave up the ghost, bled out, so that we could be forgiven and enter into heaven. That's as simple as I can make it. But oh, there's a lot in the package deal. So much in the package deal. First off, how many believers do I have today? Amen. That means you're justified. Amen. Justified means you're declared clean. You are declared clean in the Supreme Court of Heaven. Say clean. Justified means you're declared clean. That's one definition. And so most of the church understands that. I'm washed with the blood. My sins are forgiven. I'm saved. But they don't understand the second subject of sanctification. Now, sanctification means you're made clean. I've been declared clean. And secondly, I've been made clean. I'm not a leper filled with sin anymore. I've been made clean. The old man's crucified. The sin nature's dead to self. See, the sin nature is dormant. We are dead to self, I should say. So, but what the church tries to do is help God in this sanctifying process. And we can't make ourselves more clean. If God has made us clean, then we're clean. Accept it. Not admit. Sanctification, once again, is progressive. And we're never going to reach the ultimate position like Jesus is until we're glorified. It's okay. God's got us covered, everybody. The heat's off. Amen. What's religion do? Well, go back into the ark, all right? We're going to take up the lid on the ark and look at those broken commandments. Uh-huh. Are you measuring up? Wait a minute. God's not going to look. Hear what I'm saying? God is not going to judge us by looking at the broken commandments that we couldn't keep and still can't keep today, except the help of the Lord be with us. But he's not going to look. You know why? Because the ark represents Jesus, the Christ, and he fulfilled them for us. That's not a license of sin. No. But the provisions are there. So God has declared us clean. He's made us clean. But here's the problem. Everybody say, here's the problem. All right, we got a couple listening. Here's the problem. Our state is not up to our standing yet. Now, we've got good standing with God through Jesus. The best standing. But we're heading that way. And we're not quite perfect yet. When the Bible says, be ye perfect as I am perfect, that it doesn't mean perfect like we think about. It means complete. Yes, we are complete in Christ, but God's still working on us, everybody. He's still working. He's not giving up on us. Not giving up on you, not giving up on me. He's still working because our state is not up to where our standing is in the mind of God. Now I want to go to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. And so we call this progressive sanctification. And I must admit sometimes it isn't pleasant, but needful. Amen. Needful. Paul said this, not as though I had already attained. Now here's where the Pentecostals get off. See, I don't just nitpick one church. Huh? Pentecostals, well, when you get the Holy Ghost and speak with tongues, now you've reached it. Is that a fact? If that's true, then Paul wasted most of the New Testament writings on correcting spirit-filled believers. He said, you're babes. So just because you can turn cartwheels and speak in tongues and work the gifts and all this, get red-faced and slobber on everybody in the church, doesn't mean you're mature. So that must not be the ultimate in the spiritual realm. However, God gave the Holy Ghost for a reason. Why? To progressively sanctify you and me. Don't turn a deaf ear to him, because there may come a time he won't speak so loud. Say, Lord, please, no. I got to hear. I got to know. You want to be anointed, you must be real receptive to the Holy Spirit's voice. A still, small voice. Amen. Is that your will today? I think it is. What hinders? Flesh. Flesh. It's okay. God's got grace for us, everybody. Cheer up. Philippians chapter 3, and drop down to verse 18. Now look at this. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, I now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. So the cross must be the central focal point. Maybe I didn't get through reading verse 12. Let me back up to 12. I interrupted myself. Sorry. Not as though I had already attained. Either we're already perfect. Now, if Paul's saying this, I doubt that we can say we are perfect and have attained it. Hello. He said, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend for that which I've been apprehended for of Christ Jesus. So he hadn't reached the total perfection yet, but he was heading that way. That's progressive sanctification. It cost the Apostle Paul his head. You start preaching that way, though, and the crowd gets real slim. To die is gain. You start preaching that way. See? The crowd gets slim. So there is a key then to remaining in the good graces of God. In verse 18, drop down to verse 19. Paul said, those that were enemies of the cross, their end is destruction. Whose God is their own belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. I'm amazed at how much preaching in our country involves material things. And that's way down the line here to what the true blessings are. I mean, you can get to heaven wearing rags. If you don't believe me, you read about the rich man Lazarus. So I'm concerned that even though I believe in prosperity, certainly it's in the Bible. Jesus bought and paid for it so we could be blessed in all ways. But if we begin to covet after that, now we're living under the law of sin and death. We've got to be careful that we understand everything we have or ever will have is God's. Everything we are or ever will be is because of the good grace and mercy of God Almighty, not us. We deserve zilch. I know. But there is a key to remain in an excellent state. Notice a while ago I made this statement. Our state is not up to our standing yet. However, there is one key that will keep us in a good state, a good condition, so that we can progress to our standing in Christ. How many want to know? You must know, or you'll dormant yourself. And you can't stay. You'll start backsliding then, and it's all by people perish for lack of knowledge, no vision, etc., etc. And so when we go back to Genesis chapter 5 and verse 24, we're going to find a key. Amen. To how to be right with God in all ways in this new covenant. It was the same in the old. We have a better one today, though. It's this. Enoch. Say it with me out loud. Enoch, walk with God. And he was not, for God took him. Enoch, walk with God. And he was not, for God took him. That sounds like this guy had it made. Right? So number one, we must walk with God. Amen. Not live before him. We must walk with God. If Enoch could do it, we can do it. You know why? Christ came and paved the road in gold. How many is walking with God? Amen. You want to know how to remain in a good state, in a good condition? Preserved for the rapture, we must cultivate this thought of walking with God. Now, how do we do that? Well, we go to Hebrews 11:5. Of course, in the Scripture, the New Testament explains the Old Testament. That's why we need both. Praise God. By faith, it says. Everybody say, by faith. Now, Was that how to live in faith, or was that faith in the Messiah? Hello? We're going to assume this guy knew what he was talking about. That Enoch knew how to walk with God. He knew about the coming Messiah. And because that was number one, then number two, he could walk with God because number one was in order. So, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. I like to say he was transferred because he's not glorified. He's not translated physically yet. He was transferred from earth to heaven. Praise God. And he was not found. They looked for him because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Are you getting this now? We must be the same. God help us all. That we please God. How do we please God? By faith we walk with God. That's how we please God. That's the only requirement, to be in the faith and live by faith. To walk with God by faith. That's what pleases God to do. How many want to be rapture ready? Your faith is anchored in the cross, number one. Number two, your faith is active to live the Christian life, and you're walking with God right now. Amen. Well, how can you say that he had that kind of faith? Well, the Bible says God took himself. Something was working good here. Which we know, if you study types, that Enoch was a type of the raptured church. That the saints that are alive and remain, and they won't see physical death, Enoch represented them. See? He was not, for God took him. Here's where progressive sanctification would bring us all if we will just cooperate with the Holy Spirit. He would bring us to our state, to a perfect condition, at least complete condition. When the rapture comes, the trumpet sounds, we're leaving. Because we're right before God. The only way to be right before God is to have our faith in the gospel and to live by faith and walk by faith, being led by the Holy Spirit. That pleases God. The reason I say that Enoch pleased God was because of Genesis 3:15. When we go back to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, by the way, that was written, you know, in the days of Noah, days of Enoch. And so he had a lot of time to think about this, I'm sure. When God spoke to the devil, using the serpent, whatever, he said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. That was the first prophecy concerning the Savior that was to come to redeem man, at least all those that would believe in him. And God told the devil, he's going to come and bruise your head. Death blow. But you're going to bruise his heel, typifying the cross. He was going to go to the cross, his heel would be bruised on the cross. But when he said it was finished, give up the ghost, your head would be bruised, devil. And that's exactly what happened. Enoch knew this, and he walked in that revelation of faith right there. That's all it took. Now he just trusted God like we do every day. Walk in faith, operate in faith, live by faith. Just shall live by faith. Amen. That pleases God. How many can do that? How many can do that? You say, well, it kind of takes it out of my hands. Good. All we do is believe. That's the work. Believe. Now, I'll admit sometimes it's a struggle to believe because the flesh wants to figure it out. Me personally, I'm an analytical person. You know, if somebody gives me a machine, first thing I do is tear it up. I tear it up. Get a new guitar, first thing I do is tear it up. Figure out how this thing works, change this and that, tweak this and that. That's just me. But sometimes, you know, we can be too analytical in the things of the Word of God. Just accept it for what it says, and that's it. Amen. As we grow, God will give us further revelation. But right now, He's given us all that we can handle. Amen. Now, 5:24 is another scripture for Enoch. Praise God. How many got up at 5 o'clock this morning? Anybody besides Billy? I think I'd beat you. Enoch walked with God. He was not, for God took him. Genesis 5:24. Look at it again. Enoch walked with God. He was not, for God took him. Hallelujah. I'm saying the reason He took him is because he had his faith in the Savior. And he walked with God every day. You know, God used to come down in the garden and walk with Adam in the cool of the day. But now He wants us to walk with Him. Amen. So the last scripture this morning, the second to last scripture, is Galatians 3:1 in the New Testament. Foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? For before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Notice Paul is always given the foundation, which is the faith in crucifixion. The crucifixion is the faith. That's what I'm saying. The faith is the total package of the new covenant deal. That's the faith. All of it. Made possible because of the crucifixion. How many understands that? How many understands that? You must try to understand that. So it's already done for you. Now the quest is to learn how to walk in faith. Walk with God, live by faith, be led of the Holy Spirit, be quick to obey, consecrate yourself, dedicate yourself to the will of God on this earth. That's the challenge. It isn't about salvation now, challenge God. It's about what you're going to do for the kingdom. That's what it's all about now. Not to be justified or sanctified, but because you are justified and you are sanctified, now you are an ambassador for Christ. And God backs you up with all of heaven's can afford. Now look at verse 2 though. This is only what I learn of you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Did you receive it by the work of the law? Did you receive the Holy Spirit by the works of the law or the hearing of faith? How many say the hearing of faith? But how many knows what that means? Not very many. Because we think it's an action. We think it's something that we can do to prove we're in the faith. No, if you're in the faith's in you. The faith's in you starts there. It comes when the Rhema word is received. Then you act on that. But acting on what you received in your spirit is not faith. Not the faith. It's living in faith. It's what you're talking about. The church has majored on that, but they've minored on how you get that. So preachers have assumed that people have had that. They don't understand what the faith is. The faith must be in the gospel. That's what I'm saying. And Jesus is the subject. Amen. Now, how many want to be blessed? So the only way to receive the Holy Spirit is to place our faith, after we hear the Word of God, in Christ and the cross, and now we can receive the Holy Spirit and all the blessings because of the cross. That's the reason. You can blab till you're blue in the face and quote a million scriptures, turn cartwheels and fast for the next 30 days, and it won't help any. You know why? Because Jesus has already bought and paid for it. I'm not saying these things are wrong. Certainly not. But if your faith's in that rather than Christ, then you're not in the faith. You're an aspect of the faith, but not the faith. The faith is Christ and Him crucified. I will get that through this church. That's the reason you can be filled with the Holy Ghost. No other reason. Jesus couldn't legally send the Holy Spirit till He died on the cross and was resurrected. Wasn't legal. Holy Spirit couldn't come and live into our hearts. It would not have been legal because the blood hadn't been shed. Now, because the blood has been shed on the cross, the Holy Spirit can legally come in and indwell you for all eternity. Now, shout amen on that, somebody. We take this oh so lightly, but you're the only ones going to heaven. The only ones. Amen. Praise God. So, the new birth is received by hearing about Christ. It's so simple. How did we complicate it? I don't know. We must hear about Jesus and what He did on Calvary. We must hear about that. When I go overseas, the last time I went to South Africa, I think it was Brother Villy said, Pastor Villy said, no, it was another guy, another pastor. He said, he came up to me and he goes, well, you're preaching the gospel on the cross like it was foreign to him. I said, yes, I'm guilty. Because that's the power of God. To everyone that believes, the Jew first and also to the Greek. That's a reason today that we can be healed. That's a reason today we can be blessed. That's a reason today we can be prosperous. Come on. That's a reason we can be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's a reason we can be anointed. That's a reason we can be called into ministry. That's a reason we can receive the Holy Spirit gifts. That's a reason. The only reason. Thank God that's enough. So was the cross enough? Yes. Thank God, walk in it. Amen. Well, you don't understand, preacher. It's a hard old way. We've got to carry our cross. You know, it's rough. No. He said His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Come unto Me, all you labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. He bought and paid for our rest, which is our Sabbath, on the cross. Praise God. So, yes, I'm guilty. I preach Christ and Him crucified. I'm glad to have the opportunity to do so. Because it opens all the blessings of the new covenant to you. All of it. Say all of it, somebody. Praise God. Amen. And all we need to do is walk with God. I am convinced, after 40 years, if we will walk with God in the anointing, I know it's a struggle sometimes. God understands. If we walk in the anointing, when we get to where we're supposed to be, even if we get sidetracked, God is there waiting on us. The blessing is right there in front of us. We just got to walk into it. Sometimes you just fall into it. Sometimes you just fall into it. The Lord opens the door and we're standing there, God, is that You? Tell me if that's You, Lord, about that time He pushes you through the door. Yes. Praise God. That's also an aspect of being led. Hallelujah. So the just shall live by faith then. The last verse this morning is Romans 1:17. It's almost been like pulling wisdom teeth this morning, but we'll be all right. I'm used to it. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Yeah, God's faith to our faith. Our faith to God's faith. You know God has faith? That's where faith comes from. God. He's the origin. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. If we don't live by faith, we're dying. Huh? So what does it mean, the just shall live by faith? Two things. Our faith is in Jesus and Him crucified. That's number one. All provisions come to the cross. If we understand that, now we're going to operate in the power. Say power, somebody. If you don't want it, you're never going to have it. But we're living way below our standard here because Jesus bought and paid for this so you could operate with the very same spirit he operated in, the Holy Spirit. Now, we can exercise faith on this earth, pull things from the spirit realm into the natural. It must be so. Because we are God's contact on this earth. The Lord just can't come down and do whatever he wants right now without a vessel. But he has vessels. So that seems to me that he can do what he wants now through his vessels. We're going to understand two things. Our faith is the faith in Christ. Jude said that he wrote to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. So it wasn't a faith to operate in, it was a faith to live in. See, you can't operate in the faith until you live in it. You know, that's a better teacher what amens I'm getting today. How are you going to operate in faith if you don't realize faith's in you to start with? The only way faith's in you is it's anchored in Christ. There's no other way. He is the way. If that be so, and it is so, if we understand this, then we can operate by faith and even move mountains. Nothing shall be impossible, but we've got to learn how to live for God first and operate second. Yes. If we'll just do that much, you know what? God will do the rest. All we have to do is walk with him. How many are going to make up your mind this morning that that's what you're going to do from here to glory? And even then after that, to walk with the Lord. To humbly walk with the Lord. And do his will the best you can. The Holy Spirit helping us. He will help us only as we keep our eyes on the Savior. Amen. Keep our eyes on the Savior. Because he's also King. He's also Lord. He runs everything. Do you hear me now? The Lord Jesus has all power. He's in charge of everything that is. Even his beloved church. He loves the church. You think he's going to let us go down? No. We're going through, praise God. Why? Because our faith is in him.
Today's message by Dr. R.L. Davis. For more information regarding our ministry and mission, please visit us online at zwmi.com. Once again, that's zwmi.com. Or visit us on Facebook at Zion Word Ministries International.